finding pregnancy support you can trust is worth celebrating. Getting it on sale is worth belting Beyonce in your car. That's right. Ritual's Black Friday sale is on. Support your body's new nutrient needs with their clinically backed prenatal multivitamin. Or give back to your gut with Natal Biotic, a probiotic supplement for trying, pregnancy, and postpartum to support digestive, vaginal, and baby's immune health. At Ritual, quality is top priority. All of their supplements are clean, third-party tested for heavy metals, and 100% made traceable. Because you deserve high-quality support at every stage of your pregnancy journey. Cut prices without cutting corners and get their best savings on their best supplements with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm John Batchelor. Paul Gregory is the author of the new book, The Oswalds. The word chilling is inadequate because we're about to understand who Lee Oswald was from the point of view of people who tried to help him, tried to help Marina, tried to help their daughter, their baby daughter, June, and eventually their baby daughter, Rachel, helped them all in Fort Worth and Dallas for more than a year. It begins with Pete Gregory, who is a refugee from the Soviet creature many years before in the 1920s, but he's now well-employed and sophisticated and a volunteer of Russian teaching at the Fort Worth Public Library. One of his students, he does not know the name, one of his students gives him a call eventually or suggests to her son, Lee Harvey Oswald, that he's a person to look to because he's a Russian speaker who can translate easily. Lee Harvey Oswald has arrived in town after a troubled history and is seeking employment. The Texas Employment Office, well-meaning and spontaneously, calls up Peter Gregory and asks if he'll interview this young man, see if his Russian skills are adequate. Paul, can you remind us what your father first made of Lee Harvey Oswald when he walked into that heavy wool suit in June of 62?
Well, my recollection is that Lee did come in and he brought with him perhaps a manuscript of his historic diary, which he was trying to get published, and he wanted my father's support on that. But anyway, Lee came to my father's office and presented himself as a Russian speaker who had spent time, actually 3 years, in Minsk, USSR. My father had a Russian book section in his office, so he picked at random a book. It was probably about Siberia, and asked Lee to translate. And he was surprised that this young guy spoke quite passable and fluent Russian. He thought that perhaps Lee was a Pole or a Latvian. These are satellites or were satellites that where the population spoke Russian, but it was clearly they were not native speakers. So anyway, he wrote a to whom it may concern letter stating that Lee Harvey Oswald is a fluent Russian speaker and is qualified for some work that involved the use of the language. For Lee, this is a very important meeting because he had hoped to avoid falling into the blue-collar trap where he's working as a welder, as a steel engineer, person, et cetera, et cetera. And he very much hoped that his knowledge of language would land him a decent job. It didn't work out that way. Throughout this entire period of return to Fort Worth and then moved to Dallas, he worked as a welder for $1.25 an hour, which made him very bitter, by the way. It was around lunchtime, and my father customarily ate lunch in the Texas Hotel. He was rather curious about this young fellow and invited him to lunch in, by the way, something like 105-degree weather with Lee in his heavy woolen jacket. So that was more a social meeting than a business meeting. Lee was very uncomfortable, my father could see. But when they parted, Lee said, "Here's my brother's telephone number. I'm living with him, with my wife and daughter. Maybe we should get together someday." And they parted on that basis.
Now we turn to Paul Gregory's memory. You first meet Lee Harvey Oswald and Marina Oswald, and it's your father's thinking. He's looking to be generous and help this young couple. And the idea is that you're going to take Russian lessons from Marina, who's a sophisticated and natural Russian speaker from Minsk in Belarus. That's now no longer part of the Soviet Empire. These are the Soviet Empire days where all of the republics were bend a knee to Moscow. And what was your first impression of Lee Harvey Oswald and Marina when you met them, Paul?
My father, I happened to be home for the summer. My father had Robert Oswald, Lee's brother's telephone number and the invitation. So my father called up, talked to the brother, Robert, very decent fellow. Robert then talked to Lee, and they decided that we should come over and get acquainted. So we got in the car, drove to West Fort Worth, found Robert's fairly modest ranch-style home. And it was at that point that I first met Lee and Marina and June, the infant daughter. It was a very pleasant conversation. It was difficult to get Lee to say anything. Lee was not a big talker. And so we sat around and they had brought some photo albums with them. These were pleasant memories for Lee because at that point in his life, he actually had friends. I think the only time in his life where he actually had friends would have been that period from, I guess, 1958 to 1962. So we left. I can't say I have strong memories of that meeting. It was the first time I'd heard Lee speak Russian, and my Russian was pretty good at that time. And it was clear that he was not a native speaker.
Right.
It was clear that he did not really understand grammar. So what he could speak fluently, but with terrible grammar, which kind of dispels the one conspiracy theory that he was taken to some spy central where he would have been taught fluent and grammatical Russian, but that was not the case.
No, that's not Lee Harvey Oswald that you introduced us to. Whose first idea was it that you would take Russian lessons from Marina?
Well, as I recall, I was planning a trip to San Francisco where my aunt and uncle lived. They lived in the Russian emigre community. So I was gone for a while. And when I came back, I think I made the suggestion, you know, it's rare to have a real Russian speaker to practice with. And so I think it was my suggestion. Of course, Lee and Marina did not have a telephone, and they'd moved into their own duplex on Mercedes Street near Montgomery Wards. So we just got in the car, my father and I, and we drove over and knocked on the door. Lee answered, and we arranged for me to go over spend time with them, particularly with Marina, to brush up the Russian, and we mentioned we would pay her some money for this. There was no discussion of how much, but it was when we did pay her the $35 at the end of my stay in Fort Worth, she regarded that as a fantastically large amount of money.
We have to underline here that the Oswalds have very few resources and no savings. And Lee Harvey Oswald maintains tight control in all the money he does earn, about $56 a week. So money is a constant worry, especially for Marina, who comes from a country of great deprivation. The book is The Oswalds, The Untold Story, the chilling, scary, amazing untold story of Marina and Lee Oswald, with Paul Gregory at the Hoover Institution. I'm John Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.